stick to your guns. If investors tell you, you know, that you shouldn't talk about this green angle, just make a note to yourself that this is probably not the right investor for you.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. We hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur and today's guest, Mark Kuo of Routific. So imagine this, if you will. Sometime this morning, some poor soul at a local dry cleaner in your town, she sat down with a spreadsheet and a list of customers and Google Maps, and she planned delivery of 500 items in 10 different trucks. At the same time, this same thing was happening at a local bakery and at a microbrewery and at a florist. The problem is that humans are not very good at route planning. Now, transportation accounts for 14% of global greenhouse gas emissions. So what if all of these people at the dry cleaner and the bakery and the microbrewer and the florist, what if they could use AI to cut 20 to 40% off of their miles, the drive time, and therefore the emissions? So here he is to tell this story, Mark Kuo of Routific.
I am Mark Kuo. I am the founder and CEO of Routific. Routific is route optimization software for delivery businesses, and we save them between 20% and 40% in drive time and fuel by optimizing their delivery routes.
Optimizing delivery routes. So for whom? Is it, this isn't a consumer product for like somebody driving home to get their route, right?
No, it's not a consumer product. Our customers are delivery businesses. So imagine a typical delivery business who has, let's say, a fleet of 10 drivers, and they need to deliver, let's say, groceries to about 500 locations. So the routing problem really is about deciding who goes where and in what sequence. Most of the customers that we talked to before they, you know, found Routific and started using route optimization software, they would tell us that they would just manually plan these routes by hand using spreadsheets, perhaps Google Maps, plot them on a map, and just eyeballing it. So that's what most businesses do. In fact, we surveyed over 11,000 businesses and found out that 72% of these businesses are still planning routes manually. Not only does this take a ton of time out of the day, you know, 1 to 3 hours every morning if they deliver every day, but also the routes that they finally come up with are simply not efficient because it's such a hard mathematical puzzle. If an algorithm were to solve it, we could find 20 to 40% shorter routes. So it can save them a ton of mileage and drive time.
Yeah, there was something in, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you talked about the traveling salesperson problem and the vehicle routing problem. So can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, those are terms that the computer science literature uses. The traveling salesman problem, in a nutshell, is essentially you have one person and you have, let's say, 500 or so addresses that you need to go to. How do you optimally find the sequence that is that gives you the shortest route to hit all those 500 locations? The vehicle routing problem is kind of like the big brother. It's more complex, and it includes not just one person, but a fleet of vehicles. So let's say, you know, 10 drivers. Now you need to decide how to split it up as well as sequence it in a way to minimize the total drive time and distance across the entire fleet.
You said 20 to 40% a while ago. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. Are you saying that on average you can save the company drivers 20 to 40% time? Are you talking about 20, 40% costs? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about the total mileage, which is obviously very strongly correlated to drive time. And drive time then translates to driver's wages, which often is the biggest cost of delivery. So to give you a more concrete example, we've done work with a FedEx ground operator in California who had 20 trucks on the road delivering, you know, 2,000 or so packages every day. After they uploaded all their data to Routific, we optimized the routes and we were able to deliver to those same 2,000 packages a day, but with 5 trucks fewer. So they cut down their fleet size significantly, which then resulted in, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars of savings per year.
I want to get into a couple of things here. One is biomimicry. So I want to talk a little bit about that because I understand you're modeling on all of this basically on behavior of bees.
Yeah.
And then I also want to talk about, so when it comes to reducing emissions, what are you doing about that?
Yeah, so we actually recently received a green tech grant from the Canadian government. And through that process, we worked with third-party greenhouse gas consultants to really quantify the type of impact route optimization can have. So through that study, we found that for every driver that switches from manual route planning to using optimized routes, could cut 1.8 tons of CO2 a year, which is equivalent to planting roughly 86 trees a year. And this is for every driver that switches over to route optimization. So using that number, we've calculated that in 2019, we've had roughly 6,000 drivers using Routific on a daily basis. The actual number is much larger because not every delivery business goes out every day, but we've used the 6,000 as a kind of like a consolidated number. And using that number, we calculated that we've cut carbon emissions equivalent to planting 500,000 trees in just 2019 alone, which if you can try to picture that is a huge patch of forest.
So let's talk a little bit about biomimicry. So what is the connection between what you're doing and the behavior of bees?
Yeah, so bees are really, really interesting creatures for many, many reasons. But the relevant part of it for our conversation is that bees have, through nature and evolution, somehow built in route optimization, in that as they go out and forage for honey, they have as a collective, they have a way to find the most optimal routes to get the most honey. So the way they do that is at first they'll just randomly kind of spread out and check out all the, you know, the local gardens or patches of flowers. As a certain bee finds, let's say, a pot of gold, and there's a lot of good honey to be gathered, it'll come back to the hive, and they do a little bit of a wiggle dance, which then gets the attention of the other bees to continue down that path, and then they slowly start to form, you know, an optimal way to just go foraging for honey because they signal to each other what the more optimal routes are. So that is what's happening in nature, and ants also have this type of behavior. And so the algorithms that we use to optimize the routes for Routific are inspired by these behaviors from these collectives, in the way where, so if you draw the analogy, route optimization as a technical optimization problem is like a enormously complex and large search space where you need to direct kind of your CPU attention to a particular area to start exploring if, you know, this might be an optimal route, or maybe it's, you know, over here is more optimal. So in a similar way, we also direct the limited CPU resources to optimization problem like that. Because if you think about the optimization problem from a mathematical perspective, it's impossible to go through all the combinations and find the optimal solution. So you have to kind of approximate it in a very clever way.
Your personal journey, Mark, I'm really interested. So I was looking at your LinkedIn profile and I see that you have like these sort of dual concentrations where you're thinking about business and money, and you're also thinking about computer science. And so talk to me about, you know, what was your journey? And by the way, I saw you were like in finance, and then you were like, your journey's pretty interesting to me. So give me an idea. What was the journey that led you to form Routific?
Yeah. So being a fresh grad out of school, you know, naive and idealistic I was, I just wanted to, you know, get into either, you know, management consulting or investment banking simply because of its prestige. And I just, you know, I was ambitious and I just wanted to, you know, aim for something challenging. But once I got into finance, I was on the trading floor, the equity trading floor, as an algo trader for one of the more prestigious investment banks in Hong Kong. So it was like a glamorous, you know, dream job. I was sitting on the 51st floor of one of the tallest skyscrapers in Hong Kong, had just the most amazing view. But I just felt a little empty on the inside. I was pretty quickly disenchanted by this glamorous job and the corporate life, that I quickly felt that I wasn't really adding much value to society, you know, using algorithms to move money from one, you know, from the retired pensionees to, you know, pipe it to the rich bankers. I just didn't feel like it was value add to society. So that's when I realized, after doing that for a year, that I needed to go back to what I actually studied, which was route optimization. And I wrote a thesis on route optimization algorithms. And so after that experience at the bank, you know, using algorithms to move money around, I was overlooking the Hong Kong harbor and seeing all the trucks and the logistics that was happening there. And I really felt a calling of applying algorithms to move physical goods around in a more efficient way. The physical goods are being moved around anyway. Why not do it that much more efficiently? So at the time, I already knew, at least in theory, you know, doing the thesis research, in theory, that route optimization could have a huge impact. And so I wanted to at least bridge the theory to practice and try to start a company around it and bring, you know, the route optimization algorithms to businesses to actually use it. The other thing that I learned was that, you know, large companies such as UPS, they have invested billions of dollars building their own route optimization systems, and they're you know, known to be the most, you know, efficient on that front. And other larger companies, like, let's say, Coca-Cola, they would have millions and millions budgeted for consultants to come in and build custom systems in-house. But the majority of the market are smaller businesses, smaller and medium fleets that don't have access to that kind of technology. And so what we're doing with Routific is to make UPS-like technology available, make route optimization essentially available to every delivery business so that everyone can access this powerful technologies.
I love the picture of you on the 51st floor looking down at the harbor going, wait a minute, I studied, you know, how to route things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start your company?
I started working at it technically in 2012. But after going at it for 6 months, had to put it on hold and pause it for a year simply because I couldn't get any customers. And meanwhile, my savings were just going all the way down. And at the time, my wife was also working on her passion project. She is a trained journalist and ended up publishing her book. So she was working on her book at the time. So here we are living in one of the most expensive expensive cities in the world with no income. So after 6 months, I needed to put Routific on hold and start earning something. So, but in earnest, we restarted the project probably in 2014 or so. So let's say we've been at it for about 5.5 years.
Okay. And how did you start? I mean, how did you get your first customers? How did you get your first dollars through the door? How did that happen?
So I'll start the story then in the early days when we didn't even get any dollars in the store, because all of that was part of the process to get the first dollars in the door. I ended up looping my wife in as well to help me out. She ended up becoming a co-founder of Routific too. That's perhaps a topic for another discussion. But essentially in the early days, it was just me and Suzanne canvassing downtown Vancouver, knocking on every business that we believe could use our software. We would go to bakers, we would go to florists, we would go to laundromats, and just zigzagging through downtown. We would stop every delivery driver we'd see on the streets. And I just talked to them and see if they would be interested in this. A lot of them said, yes, this is great. This is awesome. I think it is the Canadian politeness where people won't tell you no. So I had a lot of false hope. We had a lot of false hope and false positives in the early days where people would say, oh, this is great. This is great. And then we would, you know, build something for them, and then we would show it to them to try to use it. And they would they just turn dark and silent. And so that was really tough when everyone's basically telling you, yes, this is awesome, but then the moment you ask for even a bit of their time, they're not giving it to you. So eventually it took 6 months of that. And even those where those companies who really had a strong pain and really, really needed route optimization. And I would come in with, you know, with presentation to the CEO, presentation to the board, to the president, like every 2 weeks or so. And they say, yeah, you know, this is great, this is great. But even at the end of all that, there was just no money that was exchanged. So when we put the project on hold, 1 year later, finally, one of the contacts came through and said, hey, we're ready to buy now. And so that's when we restarted the project. Mm. So the very first project was to optimize the security patrol force in for the Singapore city, actually, to optimize the way they patrol their MTR stations, which the metro stations, which was an interesting first project that then kickstarted us to develop the product.
That's amazing. Who first backed you? So you're funding this out of your savings. Were you able to finance this strictly through customers paying you money and you just took their funds and rolled it back in and continued to improve the product? Mm. Or did you get some outside investment coming in?
We did get outside investors. The very first, I guess, money was just friends and family in terms of like asking for donations that got us through those first 6 months. After we got our first paid pilot with the city of Singapore, that's when, so at that time I was, you know, because I needed to earn a living, I was employed by Axiom Zen, which was another startup. But because this project came in, we ended up doing a three-way partnership where Axiom Zen was investing in Routific, which was my pet project. And then I could use that money to hire myself essentially to work on the project as well as a couple of colleagues at Axiom Zen. So that's how it was funded. So the first real investment came from Axiom Zen, and that allowed us to work on the project for a year, year and a half or so, after which we got accepted into the accelerator program Techstars in Chicago. So they then became our seed rounds. They invested, and then through that program, at the end of the program, they had a demo day where we pitched to about 500 investors. From out of there, we got a dozen or so investors, and that's how we got going.
That's great.
And then in subsequent years, last year, as I mentioned earlier, we got a green tech fund from the Canadian government, SDTC, and that's another way we got a cash injection.
That's great. So today, talk to me about, you know, as you look at your key metrics across your company and you say, here's where we're at on our growth curve. Is it number of customers? Is it, you know, how do you think about, you know, your current level of growth?
Yeah, the key metric would be, we do look at number of customers, but if we're looking at it from a impact perspective, the more meaningful number would be number of drivers on Routific.
Considering that right now there's a global pandemic and people are like sitting at home, so that, you know, right, that has to have a big impact on not just your business, but everybody else's. But as you think about your plans for here's how we're going to grow and scale our business, what's in the pipeline? What are you doing to grow and scale?
Yeah, speaking of the pandemic, it actually, because everyone's sitting at home, everyone actually needs more delivery services. So we're actually starting to see our customers doing more volumes than normal. We're starting to see a spike in terms of interest as well in our software. Hmm. So last week we announced that we're offering our software for free for a month for anyone who is on the front lines and for NGOs who are delivering. So for example, yesterday I was talking to an organization in New York City who quickly organized a group of about 30 to 60 drivers to distribute food to seniors people's homes who are all basically, they're not in their senior homes anymore, but they're at home. So now we need to distribute the food to their homes. So that's an example of probably an order of magnitude of 100 or so NGOs that have written in the last week alone, who are all doing these kinds of efforts, delivering, you know, prescription drugs to people, delivering foods to people, medical supplies. And so we are helping those companies, you know, optimize their routes and getting their food delivered efficiently as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. I went to New York City to run the New York City Marathon. I think this was 2012 when Hurricane Sandy happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was complete chaos. I actually showed up. They canceled the marathon. Then I got on the airplane. Well, then they said, no, it's back on. Then I got on the airplane. I flew. And while I was in the air, they canceled it again. And so when I landed in New York, so I'm there to run the New York City Marathon, they cancel the marathon. And so I thought, well, why not volunteer? And the only way we really had to organize with each other was through Facebook. And so people popped up Facebook groups, and then, you know, we gave each other opportunities or places to go volunteer. And so I'm searching these Facebook groups and I'm finding volunteer opportunities, and there's like, you know, some people out in Rockaway that you got to carry some water up several flights of stairs because they're stuck in their houses without elevators, right. You know, or sorting through things that people brought. To have that kind of AI technology to route all these supplies and things, that would have been breakthrough. So what what an amazing world we live in today, that you have this software as a service.
Yeah,
that someone can just go in. They probably just input their drivers and their trucks and their inputs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they just throw it in there, and then boom, it gives them the best route, and away they go.
Yeah. It's really easy. We've designed our software to be extremely easy to use and intuitive. So anyone who hasn't run a delivery operation before and they're just getting organized as an NGO, it's like you said, you just put in all the addresses, you put in how many drivers you have and, you know, how many hours they can drive, and you just click a button, wait, you know, a few seconds, and you get your routes on the map, and you can send them directly to the drivers on their mobile phone. And they don't even need to download an app. They just click a link and they can follow the route along and get their deliveries out.
Wow. As you think about companies that are trying to do good on the earth and companies like yours, Routific, you make a dollar and a difference.
Yeah.
So something you've learned on your path, on your journey, that you could pass along to others.
That's an interesting way to phrase it, a dollar and a difference. I think that really resonates. If you really believe that whatever product it is that you're building and selling, and you believe there is, you know, both the dollars to be saved for your customers or to be made for your customers, and there is a difference, that's great. That's awesome. And I would, I guess my piece of advice would just be stick to your guns. If you really believe in it, if it's really what drives you, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I quite struggled in the early years of Routific with the notion of, you know, should we talk about our green angle? Because, you know, a lot of advice we got was businesses don't care, investors don't care, you should tone it down, you know, it could even be a deterrent. I think times are changing. Hopefully times are changing. I definitely feel like times are changing. People are more environmentally conscious these days, but I think there's still a ways to go. And so stick to your guns. If investors tell you, you know, that you shouldn't talk about this green angle, just make a note to yourself that this is probably not the right investor for you. Whereas in the past, I made the mistake to, you know, kind of like appease every investor I talked to and just say, okay, yeah, I'll stop talking about this. And meanwhile, you know, not being really true to myself and my personal mission and the company's mission at large. So it's one of those things that I think if it's something you're really passionate and really believe in, you might piss some people off, but at the same time, you will attract the right people that do share that passion.
I love that. So self-narrowing on who those people are that you want to be doing business with.
Exactly.
So if people are looking for Routific online or on social media, where would they look?
Routific.com. So Routific.com is the best place to start. We also have links to social media. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Routific is the handle for each one of those.
And just one last thing, a call to action. So people are about to, you know, hit next on their podcast and on their podcast app, or they're about to go do something else.
Yeah.
As you send them off into the day, what's something that you'd like to call on people to go and do as a result of this conversation?
Sure. So we're really, so to tie it all the way to our mission, we're really about making route optimization accessible to every delivery business. And we need to educate the market, the delivery business market, on the problem of manual route planning. So if you know anyone in your network or your local delivery guy down the street, talk to them, ask them if they're still manually planning the routes. And if so, you can, you know, either send them our way or educate them that you could be planting 86 trees a year if you switch to, you know, optimized routes. So it's really about spreading the word of how large the problem is. As I mentioned earlier, 72% of businesses are still manually planning the routes. So if you reached out to four of them, chances are that three of them are still planning things manually. And you can really help them and the environment by spreading word that, you know, what they're doing is really not good for the environment.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.